Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is AppSats Radio, help for partners after sexual betrayal. We talk about it here.
Betrayal trauma.
We are AppSats certified clinical partner specialists and coaches who have been trained to help navigate you through this crisis. There is nothing we won't talk about.
So I've got Amy on the line. Amy, welcome to the show. What's your question?
Well, I have a question about what healthy sexuality looks like when a sex addict is in recovery.
One of the things we know about research and sex addicts is that they don't necessarily want sex with their own wife. And so to me, that says he's in really good recovery because he does want that with you. He has been 2 years sober. He has been in three facilities. And I suspect that's how he's wanting closeness with you.
Well, welcome to Betrayal Recovery Radio. Hi, I'm Carol Jurgensen-Sheets, and I am using a new microphone today. So I'm hoping that everything's going smoothly. I had a wonderful phone call from a listener who said, Carol, you're my favorite podcaster, but lately the sound has not been good on Betrayal Recovery Radio. And I said, well, that's not good. I actually thought I was having some trouble with the phone that I was using. So I went out and bought a Yeti. A Yeti is probably the best microphone you can get. And I am hoping that this is recording the way it's supposed to. Why? Because I want you to hear me crystal clear. One of the things that I really believe is that we are disseminating information so that you'll know what in heck is happening to you. And you've got to know how to feel safe. And that's what AppSats is all about. And AppSats is the organization that trains clinicians and coaches to be partner sensitive, to understand the trauma of partner betrayal. And we're educating people all over the world. It's all about education, right? We have to get the word out about sex addiction, about compulsive problematic sexual behavior. And we have to get the word out. We have to get the word out to you all so that you'll know how to proceed, how to feel safe, how to get angry and grieve and mourn, and how to get to the other side, at least by yourself. Maybe the men that I work with that are sex addicts, believe it or not, it's their wives that have found me. They're the ones listening to the podcast. They're the ones that are buying the books. They're the ones that are Googling. And so I know that they are the vehicles for disseminating information. Now, I really want you to know that there are lots of ways that you can get healthy, and listening to this podcast is one of them. AppSats is the oldest organization and the premier organization that believed that what you were suffering with was partner trauma. And not everybody is traumatized, but certainly most people are. And if you've heard that intro like a million times about Amy, you know, the truth of the matter is she participated with her husband while he did go through three treatment centers. I mean, that's not the average sex addict. The average sex addict can get healthy if they're part of a group and they're doing their own internal work and they're doing the reading. And they're going to a CSAT, a certified sex addiction therapist. That's what I am. But when you get to that place where he's healthier and you're feeling better, but you're still having issues, you might want to go to a couples intensive or you might want to go to workshop. Great segue to a workshop that Marnie Freaker, if you've ever heard her podcast, it's phenomenal, helping couples heal. And, well, Marnie and I are doing a workshop tomorrow, and you can still register for it. If you're an individual person and you want more information on how to get healthy, how to have a healthy coupleship, or if you're a couple and you'd like to take our workshop, you can register by going to Meredith, M-E-R-E-D-I-T-H, at lacrh.com. That you can register, pay your fee, and we'll see you tomorrow at 9 o'clock Pacific time, or if you're like me, Eastern. That would be 12 to 6 Eastern, 9 to 3 Pacific. We would love to have you. We've got a couple of spots still open. And what we know is when you work it, it works. And this is an intensive way to be with two of the best therapists in the United States. Okay, well, there's a lot of great therapists. But I really do believe in tooting your own horn if you know that you've got the skills. Or, well, I will say, you probably have all been taught to be modest. Don't be conceited. Don't be arrogant. Be humble. Have humility, right? We've all been taught that. But as a coach, I teach my clients, own who you are and own what you do well. And when you do, you're much more likely to convey to the world what you need, what you want, and what you believe. And so when I say Marnie and I are two of the best therapists in the United States, we really are. We know about this. We know about partner betrayal. We know about sex addiction. We know how to help couples heal. But as I said, and this is the beautiful thing about APSATS, if you go to APSATS.org, and that's APSATS.org, you can look up on the directory, in the directory, your city and state, your country, your province. And you know what? You can hopefully find a trained therapist or coach who can help you navigate partner betrayal. I mean, our providers are the best in the world. Okay. So again, if you want to do a workshop tomorrow from 9 to 3 Pacific Standard Time, and that is by registering with Meredith, M-E-R-E-D-I-T-H at lacrh.com. Come listen to Marnie and I teaching you how to help you heal and help your coupleship heal. When I was doing Michelle Wiener Davis, she wrote Divorce Busting. She said it only takes one person to improve a relationship. Now, I believe that with all my heart. But I'm always telling the sex addict that he's the one that really has to do the healing. He's the one that has to do the helping. He's the one that has to do the work. He caused these issues, and now it's time for him to step up and help her to heal. And when he does, a beautiful spiritual thing happens. He heals himself. All right. So I think my caller's on the line right now. So Lisa, are you on the line right there?
I am so excited about it, Carol, because my kind of working definition of, you know, a toxic relationship is, just to start off, is any destructive behavior that causes that emotional, mental, and often physical danger, damage that the toxic person creates. It's almost like they create that environment that impacts your ability to live a healthy and happy life. And so, you know, in our practice and what you and I both do, we so often see just toxic behaviors that are happening in a relationship that just prevents that partner, that person, from really enjoying a healthy relationship, right? So I wanted to create this course to just really go after that and kind of have something. You know, there's worksheets, there's all sorts of different things to kind of really help someone work through that.
Well, I know, and yet I'm sure our listening audience is out there saying to themselves, oh gosh,
what's the difference between a toxic relationship and an abusive one? Can they be one and the same, or are they different?
Yeah, I think that, you know, here, not every unhealthy relationship is abusive, right? I mean, there are, abuse is more of a pattern of behaviors used by a partner to kind of keep that power and control over someone. So the difference is you're looking for not just that pattern of toxic behavior, but the motive behind it as well. So I think that the difference with the toxic relationship and an abusive one is the abusive relationship, there is a pattern of abuse. There is a motive there that is to control. So things such as that can be toxic, such as your partner may be, being dishonest, cheating, illegal activity, hanging out with other toxic people, even addictions, you know, those aren't necessarily abusive. They can be, and they can coincide with abuse, but, there's definitely that distinction. You know, an abuser will do pretty much anything to keep you, but nothing to really take care of you. And so that's kind of one of the differences that I see.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. So the abuser will abuse or exploit you, whereas a toxic person may not be healthy, but there is some effort to take care of you. And so
yes.
Give our listening audience an example of somebody who's toxic versus somebody who's abusive.
Yeah. So when you're dealing with someone who is toxic, and quite often these things will overlap with someone who's abusive, but, you know, just the toxicity, you know, there's constant fighting, you're feeling emotionally depleted, not supported, almost sometimes feel like you can't do anything right, constantly apologizing, maybe giving more than you're getting, things of that nature. You know, I don't believe that love should ever cost you your peace. And that's not to say, Carol, that, you know, obviously we're all going to have fights. But there's a level in the toxic environment to where there's some sort of, it creates some sort of environment that is stable and can be chaotic. Now, with abuse, it steps it up a level in terms of, again, there's more of a pattern, more of a control, where there's intimidation, isolation, threatening, even physical abuse. You know, so that those are some examples of where it becomes more abusive.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And can you share with me, what in the world, how did you get involved in creating this course? I mean, were you seeing this pattern in your practice? What triggered this for you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've done a lot of work with, I used to work at a domestic violence shelter and doing groups and therapy there, and just saw so many amazing, strong women come out of very intense abusive situations, as well as, getting into the ACCESS program and beginning to see the betrayal trauma aspect of it. And just those two things combined, there's also a need that I've seen that it can be that extreme and those things that are that intense, but there's also relationships that may not be abusive, or there may not be sex addiction or things of that nature, but there's still toxicity. There's still, relationships that aren't peaceful or enjoyable, or, you know, there's chaos and fighting and dishonesty and things like that. And so I just wanted to create a course that would kind of piece out, okay, which type of relationship are you in? And then what do you want to do about it? You know, what are your options? So that's kind of where that came from.
Well, so you've actually seen some of the worst of the worst, having worked in domestic violence. And
I'm sure that you saw some patterns. You know, one of the things that, as I've done this show for a couple of years and my other podcasts for over 14, I heard a lot of experts say sex addicts were narcissistic. Now, I don't have that many narcissistic sex addicts in my practice. I wondered why they did and I didn't. I tease that I'm so directive in my therapy that a narcissist probably would fire me. They wouldn't want to work with me because it's all about them. It's not about what I'm talking about. But the truth of the matter is that, you know, when you've got somebody who is controlling and abusive and putting you down, sometimes the only thing you can do is detach from that relationship. Whereas with toxicity, there are things, boundaries, consequences that you can set that actually help to show the person that you're not going to put up with the toxicity. I mean, toxicity isn't just from sex addicts. It can be your kids. It can be your in-laws. It can be your own parents. So
yeah.
Do you believe if somebody is toxic, that there's hope for him or her, depending on who it is, to change?
No, absolutely. I agree with what you said because, there's so much about the healing process and looking into, okay, recognizing I'm in this toxic relationship, but I also have the ability to change the course. And that may or may not be getting out of the relationship, right? Like you said, and it could be with parents or with kids or coworkers. I mean, yeah, there's toxicity everywhere. So I think that there's hope for everyone. The only requirement is willingness, right? That, you know, if your partner is aware of their behavior and they're willing to do what it takes to change, there's absolutely hope. And I think that, you know, the problem with, as you said, like with narcissists and many abusers, is that they truly see that there's not a problem, that they are not the problem, right? So that gets a little trickier. But there's absolutely hope. In the course that I created, I kind of go over these five A's to really look for as far as, you know, their commitment to change and healing. And the first one is admits responsibility, right? That's the first thing. They've got to admit it. Acknowledging the hurt that they've caused, apologizes, abuse stops. If there was abuse, that stops. Actively getting consistent long-term help. So those are kind of my five A's that I say, you know, there's absolute help. There's absolute hope, but there's definitely things that need to be intentional about the healing.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. So will you say those over one more time? I'm writing it down, Liza.
Yeah, sure. So the first one is admits responsibility, acknowledges the hurt they've caused, apologizes, the abuse stops, actively gets consistent long-term help. Because, you know, sometimes they may do just enough, right? I'll go to therapy just
right.
A couple times or, you know, we'll do this a few times and then it kind of fades off. So there needs to be that consistent support there.
Well, it's interesting because you're talking about this and I obviously Help Her Heal, the book, talks about empathy, which is acknowledging, if you will, the pain or the issue, and then validating that person's feelings, and then looking at what you're doing to make a difference. And other than the apologizing part, and of course, part of the reassurance can be that action plan. And that's why I'm going, you know, in reassuring her, and that's why I am attending 3 meetings a week, because I am going to kick this sex addiction, and we're going to have the coupleship that you deserve, or we deserve, mm-hmm. or whatever. So I like that. And, you know, I was listening to a Brené Brown podcast with one of my favorite gurus, Harriet Lerner. And she wrote The Dance of Anger. And she has now written a book on how and why to apologize so that you don't apologize badly. So can you share a little bit more about the apology aspect of those bullet points to moving out of a toxic relationship?
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds like a great book. I want to get into that. I mean, that the apology is so, because what you said was that there's that empathy. There has to be an empathy, I believe, can be learned. I think that is a skill that can be learned. If they're starting out with a baseline of kind of zero empathy, it's not hopeless. That can be learned, I believe, with help. But that true remorse, I believe that backs that apology, right? They really see, my gosh, look what I've done. You know, they step into that empathy. There's that remorse. And in that, you know, an apology isn't, I'm sorry you feel that way, right? It's taking that responsibility for their part in it and recognizing the consequences of their actions. I think that's a huge part of the apology, as well as, you know, you don't defend. That's not a time to say anything defensive of why you did or try to explain. It's just, this is what I've done, and I can't believe I've done that to you. I'm so sorry.
That is so interesting you say that, because so many of the examples Brené and Harriet were talking about is when somebody does apologize with saying, I'm sorry you feel so hurt. Which, of course, puts the onus on the other person for feeling hurt as opposed to the accountability of, I'm sorry I hurt you, you know?
Yeah.
And so oftentimes when people do get an apology, it's important to listen and see if they are 100% holding themselves accountable as opposed to projecting the issue on the other person. So I absolutely love that. And, you know, I think action steps are so important. You know, again, Harriet and Brené both said, it's also about intention. Is this person walking his or her talk? Are they doing what it takes to not repeat that same behavior? So in your course, tell us a little bit about that in terms of, do they go to your website to get the course, and then what will they hope to get? Because I know you got videos and worksheets. Just share a little bit about the course in general.
Sure. Yeah, you can go to my website. That's www.liza, that's L-I-Z-A, LizaYoungCounseling.com, and you'll find it on my website. There are four different videos of me talking. There are four different 15-minute videos that are just kind of broken up into different sections. And with each video comes some resources as well as worksheets, questions to really think through and kind of mull over as you're making your way through, okay, what is my relationship? Where am I in it? And what do I want to do with it now? Just giving you kind of steps of, you know, do I stay? Do I go? What, you know, all of those types of things, just helping you piece out those things. So, yeah, they can go to my website to find that.
Okay, and so very slowly again, give our listening audience the name of your website.
Yeah, okay, so www.LizaYoungCounseling.com.
And that is L-I-Z-A-Y-O-U-N-G, counseling, C counseling.com. So now,
yes.
Liza, I'm curious, if somebody's listening to this show and they're going, my gosh, I think I am in a toxic environment. I think I am in a toxic relationship. What do I need to do now? Obviously, they can take your course so they can become better educated. But what next?
Yeah, I mean, that's the big question. What do I do now? Do I stay? Do I go? You know, obviously, the one of the biggest things is what we mentioned earlier about looking for those red flags that we mentioned, the five A's. Do you see them admitting responsibility or acknowledging, apologizing? Do you see them, that activity, them actively getting help or moving towards reconnecting and healing? So in that, talk a lot about just how do you set boundaries for yourself to protect yourself emotionally and physically while you're waiting and watching to see what they're going to do with that, right? So while you are doing that, you can begin to identify your own line in the sand, your bottom line. Like, what will you not tolerate? I think that's a big thing to really think about is and write down, you know, okay, what am I not going to tolerate anymore? What's my line in the sand? Because then you can kind of base things off of that. You can kind of build boundaries around that as well. Because one of the questions I ask is, if they never change, can you spend the rest of your life in that relationship? You know, one of the hardest things to break free from isn't necessarily the person, but the picture that we have in our mind, right, of how supposed to be the future. You know, there's a lot of fear and grief of not wanting to let that go. And so to kind of ask yourself, do you love who he or she is, or do you love the person you fell in love with, the person you believe that they can be? Because, Carol, you know, I mean, it's not like they're monsters. You know, there's a lot of goodness, and you see so many things, so many glimpses of hope of how they can be if they're healthy. And so you hold out that hope, but you have to find that bottom line where thinking about, okay, let's make our decision not based on what if, but on what is. Does that make sense?
Oh, 100%. You know, I always say that partners suffer the grief of, you know, who am I living with? And I'm grieving who I thought he was, what
yeah.
I hoped we would have, what future we won't have now. And the bottom line is, when you've got that kind of trauma and you're trying to figure it out, that prefrontal cortex can sometimes go offline, and it gets real confusing to decide, what do I need now, and how do I stay in the moment, and what will keep me safe? And certainly you're teaching those skills in the course that help somebody to stay focused and to work through the steps one by one. So, yes, it makes sense, Liza. I just, I'm surprised that we haven't seen more of these courses in the past. I'm sure it's because you have really done a nice job of collaborating your past work with your present work. Now, I'm going to ask you a technical question. It's really a speculative question, and I don't expect you to know the answer, but in your work with partners, how often do you see the coupleship being toxic? He's in recovery. He's trying, but how often does he show up being toxic?
You know, I would say it's a little split down the middle. You know, there are obviously some couples who they're just ready to make it happen. You can tell the motivation in the addict or the one that is struggling with infidelity or whatever it might be. And but there are those that it's more than just that. I think where I see more of the struggle that's a little harder to work with is when there are several things going on, which can very often be the case where there is maybe not just the addiction, but there might be some illegal activity, or there might also be abuse with it, or different things of that nature, where that type of toxicity really creates a pretty big barrier. Not that it's not that there's no hope for it. It just might take a little longer to get through that barrier because there's more, roadblocks of toxicity, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it really has to do with safety. And, you know, Liza, that is our first phase. Mm-hmm. When we're looking at partners, we're assessing immediately, are you safe? Are you physically safe, emotionally safe, financially safe, spiritually safe? And what you just cited were plenty of situations where automatically that person is not safe. And so it makes sense that that's a whole different kind of person. That person is way more than toxic. That person is dangerous. If he's using drugs, if he's doing illegal activities, he is not safe to be with. So now I know that from your domestic violence background, you know that may be when she needs to live somewhere else. You know, we talk about boundaries and consequences, but we also, physical safety is first and foremost. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And it's not when it comes to that sort of thing, kind of assessing the lethality of the situation, but just assessing the whole safety, that at that point, it's no longer a relationship issue. And so I don't continue in marriage or relationship therapy, right? At that mm-hmm. point, there is mm-hmm. there's a needed okay, we need individual, you know, and it doesn't, there needs to be a, and maybe even more so with the toxic person. But at that point, again, it's not a relationship issue. It's not a marriage, you know, we're not doing marriage therapy anymore, right? Because like you said, now we've got to put those boundaries. We've got to look at safety, emotionally, physically, and all of that for sure.
It's a lot of sense. So now, what do you advise somebody who is in a dangerous situation, an abusive situation? What do you advise her to do when she has kids? I mean, that so complicates the situation.
Yeah, absolutely. It's terrifying, you know, I mean, because you're wanting to do the best for your kids. I mean, we naturally want that, right? And so it's like, what is the best? Because things go through your mind like, you know, oh, gosh, I don't want to ruin them by going through a divorce, you know, or I want them to have a father figure. Well, something you have to ask is, do you want them to have that father figure, you know? And when I hear a lot of women, they'll say, you know, I just don't want them to come from a broken home. And I get that. Nobody has that, you know, desire. But divorce is hard. But living in an abusive or toxic environment is far more harmful. And so even though they may struggle through the divorce, they will heal. Right. But as long as you're in an abusive, toxic environment, it's very hard to heal in that. It's very hard to it's very damaging. In fact, if you are being abused, also child abuse as well, because they are in the very midst of it and could very well be being abused, too. So, you know, my advice would be to to honestly seek legal advice. There are a lot of lawyers out there who offer free consultations, one-time consultations, to kind of say, hey, this is what's going on. What are my rights? What are, you know, as it relates to kids, and get some legal advice, and also reaching out to a therapist who understands the situation, coaches who understand domestic violence shelters, anyone you can reach out to get a safety plan in place, because I think that is huge, is really getting a safety plan in place for if and when you leave, or if and when there's another outburst, to keep you and the kids safe, you know, having an extra set of keys somewhere in case he takes yours, or, you know, things of that nature.
Well, and you said, you know, that you need an exit plan, or you need some sort of safety plan to keep everybody safe. And so how do you leave and stay away? Here's what I deal with a lot, and I'm sure partners listening will understand, because they probably have felt this hundreds of times. Let's say they're not abused, but the relationship is really toxic, and it doesn't seem to be getting better. You know, would you advise somebody to perhaps ask for a therapeutic separation?
Yeah, I, you know, absolutely, depending on the situation. As you know, everyone's different, but I do, especially if they're seeing that there is not a lot of change taking place. You know, sometimes that can even be an added boundary of if they're seeing things that aren't working in a relationship that they've already asked for. But I do, and I think that going towards the how do I leave and stay away, you know, that's one of the hardest things. You know, if you make that decision to, okay, I'm either going to have a therapeutic separation and see what we can do with that, or I want to leave altogether, I think that you have to be prepared with the tools to help you through that, because, you know, it's very often so many will leave and come back and leave and come back. And that's very normal. That happens so often because it's hard. But I think being able to be prepared with the tools will help you. And so some of that is having tools to help you with your fear of loneliness, the grief that overcomes, anxiety. You know, this is when I suggest definitely looking for a therapist or coach who understands this type of thing to help walk you through this. Because you also have to be prepared, Carol, for tactics, especially if it's an abuser. Some of those tactics are, you know, he can act like the victim, you know, saying, oh my gosh, I can't live without you, or even I'm going to kill myself if you don't come back. They can not respect your boundaries, you know, blow up your phone, follow you, begs to see you just one more time, become increasingly controlling, you know, with threats or intimidations, and also turning it completely around and being so loving and promising all of these things. Oh, I'll do everything you ask for. You know, so really being prepared for your triggers and his tricks.
That's interesting. I like that. So, you know, I was going to ask you, you know, what do you tell partners to help them heal from the hurt? And yet I just heard you say it's so important for a partner to find a partner-sensitive coach or clinician or both to get them through this, to help process all that pain. Now, we know that a clinician can help process pain from a clinical standpoint, and a coach can have resources that will help the person work through the pain. Would you add anything to that?
I think
all that hurt you feel?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that you know, I think doubling up on a therapist and a coach that's partner sensitive is huge because, yeah, like you said, with the therapist, you can work through some of the hurts there, but having that support that you can have with a coach in between sessions, you know, and especially when you are trying to actively, well, in all of the things, building boundaries or actively trying to leave or stay away or in any of those situations, you know, that I think that's so huge. I think also part of the healing process is reminding yourself of what is true. And what I mean by that is acknowledging that this person is hurting you and it's not okay, right? It's not your fault and it's not your job to fix it, but to protect yourself and your kids if you have them, that you have the ability to change the course of your life. And so that's the truth. And just being able to remind yourself of that and also working on facing your own fears. You know, we're meant for connection. So it's very hard to disconnect, especially from someone we love and we want to be with. So gathering that support, those people who are trustworthy, that understand betrayal and abuse and trauma, I think gathering that support so that you aren't alone in it, being able to understand your hurts of feeling maybe not good enough, having self-compassion for yourself. There's all sorts of things. Reframing your hope, right? What I had in mind as my future is not how it's supposed to be going. And so I need to change what that looks like now. So there's so many different avenues there for hope and healing, and it's absolutely doable. So there is hope there.
So you're basically saying that no matter what happens, that the partner has to take her power back by surrendering to the fact that she no longer has the relationship she had hoped she would have, and now she has to figure out what she needs to be as emotionally safe as possible and to be in a healthy environment to the best of her ability, right? She's empowered.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I want to remind my listening audience that I'm talking with Liza Young. You can find out more about her toxic-free relationship course by going to www.lizayoungcounseling.com. That's LizayoungCounseling.com. And Liza, you also have a podcast called Therapy Extended. Tell us a little bit about that podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's Therapy Extended with Liza Young, and I cover a lot of different mental health topics. Mostly it is around betrayal trauma and domestic abuse, gaslighting, narcissism, relationship toxic things like that. But there are other, you know, I've had some on talking about step-parenting or grief and just a lot of different things that are centered around mental health and finding hope and healing through whatever you're going through.
Okay, and so how can they find out about that podcast? It's, again, called Therapy Extended with Liza Young. How can they find out?
Yeah, they can go to my website. It's on there, and it's also on, you know, most podcast avenues such as, you know, Apple Podcasts or Google or just different avenues that way where you can usually get your iPad or your podcast downloaded or on my website. They can go there as well.
Excellent. And so, again, that's called Therapy Extended with Liza Young, and she talks about, as a partner, what can happen to you so that you're not blindsided. You go, hey, that's gaslighting. You're trying to make me feel crazy. or, hey, that's Starvo. You're turning this whole thing around and making me feel like the perpetrator and you're the victim, when really it's the opposite. So, Liza, I thank you so much. I can't wait to go to your website and really look at this course. I hope our listening audience does too, because obviously you're a marriage and family therapist and you've got this unique trauma background based on your work with domestic violence. Liza works with affairs, partner betrayal, and all sorts of domestic relationship issues. So make sure you look up her information on www.lizayoungcounseling.com. And keep us posted and let us know about new courses and new information. Thanks so much for sharing today.
Thank you so much for having me, Carol.
All right. You have a good one.
You too.
That was Liza Young. And yeah, you know, so many people, when they don't see the kind of change they need to in their coupleship, they have to figure out how to make that happen. Liza is a counselor from APSET. She shared that with us already. And so we just really understand that if you're having couples relationship issues, APSATS is the place to go. And as I say at the end of every show, there will only be one of you at all times. So fearlessly have the courage to be yourself, and we'll see you next week.
For more information, go to APSATS.org, the Association of Partners of Sex Addicts Trauma Specialists, to find a professional in your area who is trained to help you after sexual betrayal.